Blog Talk Radio.
Up, Mr. Brown.
Yes, I was a member. But I was forced into this way of life. Hey, look, I've been dealing drugs ever since I was 12 years old. See, I didn't have the chances that you have, Miss Hawkins. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, Miss Hawkins. I mean, I wanted to get out. But they threatened to kill my mother.
Who are you talking about, Mr. Brown? What they?
They. Look at it. Kareem Akbar. That's right, the educated brother from the bank. He's the real head of the CMB. The brains behind the whole thing.
I told you, this thing is bigger than Nino Brown, and I got a list of
orders.
If I'm going
order
down, I'll take a whole lot of people with
order
me.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
Up, Mr. Brown.
Yes, I was a member. But I was forced into this way of life. Hey, look, I've been dealing drugs ever since I was 12 years old. See, I didn't have the chances that you have, Miss Hawkins. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, Miss Hawkins. I mean, I wanted to get out, but they threatened to kill my mother.
Who are you talking about, Mr. Brown? What they?
They. Look at it. Kareem Akbar. That's right, the educated brother from the bank. He's the real head of the CMB. The brains behind the whole thing.
I told you, this thing is bigger than Nino Brown, and I got a list of
proof.
If I'm going
order
down, I'll take a whole lot of people with
order
me.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
By the government, you get the check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really believes they portray us, you and me, shit? The working class getting robbed by the government. Poor people evicted for condos and luxury. The truth by media get robbed cause of government. They calling me a thief, charging me with robbery and breach of the peace. But can we take a look upon these beasts? They the ones that come and shoot us down in the streets. To step days back to the clowns from the east. I'm talking about Europeans, English and French. Came to this land, found man, made friends and enslaved them. Took advantage of trust and then raped them. Old Canada, the land stolen from the natives and First Nations. People driven to starvation. They kidnapped their children, put them in the placements. Forced assimilation, it's like slave breaking. Now enough of them is sipping glue or staying wasted. Just another race erased, more recent. They thinking that this minimum wage is decent. Taking 15% off the checks we receive. And we can't go to school cause we banned for no reason. Our education getting robbed by the government. You get your check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really believes they portray us, you and me, shit? The working class getting robbed by the government. Poor people are evicted for condos.
What up, this is Quan J, and you're listening to Stolen from Africa Volume 2, Lest We Forget.
The same school assholes make school traps that'll leave you with a case before class. Trouble waiting on the ass for you to get out of the bed. Cause with a criminal record, you can't get employment. So they stay employed. No takers in the courthouse to go and inform the snort makers in the workhouse to go and inform the principal and the staff too. So you and your boys ain't allowed in the classroom. Now that's robbery. So how could the queen represent my country and charge me with larceny? Further with the fuckery, it's hard to be humble when I see what they do in the region and jungle. TCHC trying to come up on the double. History repeats itself. It's no puzzle. It's exactly what happened to Africville when they move all the blacks to the helm and they can't be for real. Education getting robbed by the government. You get your check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really believes they portray us?
We got to be able to mold this thing. We got to be able to mold this thing in such a way where we really, really, really get what is being said and what is actually being done. See, a lot of people right now are listening to a lot of these things and they're trying to put the two and two together. They're trying to figure out exactly what the narrative is or what it isn't. Like, for example, I'm going to go here. I'm going to say it this way. A lot of people, got a lot of people definitely tuning in, so I want to make sure everybody really gets exactly what I'm about to break down. I want everybody to really be able to follow the narrative of how these things really play out. in the aspect of the marketplace, in the aspect of all these various different things that are there, you're going to have to pay attention to the symbols, the signs, the various different things that are actually going for in the aspect of commerce. Trusteeship is everywhere. It's all around you. But if you're not subservient to the various different things that are taking place, you're kind of guessing. You know, I'm going to give you an example. All right. If you have ever participated in anything that requires you to have a quote-unquote, how you want to say it, an aspect of trusteeship, we'll say, let's see, what can I use? What can I use? What can I use? I can use something along the lines of registration, certification. Then that literally means that you're literally engaged into a structure or a system where trusts are being administered all around you. And in commerce, because there's a trust agreement in play, Uniform Commercial Code is definitely being applied. Now, I want everybody, if you can hear my voice, because I'm getting a lot of folks, it was like there was getting some feedback earlier, just send me a text, let me know I'm coming in loud and clear. Let me know I'm coming in loud and clear so that way I can continue, because I'm going to give you a jewel. I want you to take some notes. I want you to grab your pencil and piece of paper. I want you to really follow how this whole accounting thing really is the reason why the have and the have-nots have what they have and why you're seemingly seem like you're actually chasing your tail. So somebody can send me a text right quick, let me know that I'm coming in loud and clear. I can really, you know, go forward and go in to really breaking this thing down to you. Because it's simple when you got a pencil and a piece of paper. You can write these things down and jot them down. All right, so with that being said, Let's go forward. All right, now those of you that are in Castor, if you're coming in on Blog Talk, you should be able to hear me loud and clear. And then again, I'm put it out there. If you got any questions or anything you're hearing in the broadcast, you can actually call in to area code 917-932-1755. If you got any questions, you want to ask questions. If I see you in this particular queue, I'm assuming you have questions. And if you got questions, I want to definitely call up on you. So if you got any questions or anything you're hearing in this particular trustee training, call in to 917-932-1755. Again, that number is 917-932-1755. And so with that being said, I'm gonna reshape the platform for you. All right, what you literally got right now is how do we use general intangible assets in a forward progression. I'm in a trust agreement, whether I'm in trucking, whether I'm selling Avon, Amway, Prime America, whatever the case may be, I'm engaged into a contract as a contractor, which is actually a trust agreement. So when I'm dealing in a trust agreement, one of my fiduciary duties is to be able to utilize the general intangible assets that I'm administering over the estate. All right, when I say administering over the estate, the trustee does not own the trust. The trustee is an administrator. He or she will act as a settlor, grantor, and in some instances may also be a part of the beneficiary layout. You know, now I won't get into proprietary processes because proprietary processes. What I am going to say is that if you understand what we're talking about, then you will have a very clear, concise perception of what is actually being done, what is actually being said, and exactly how these things really play into the fold of trust administration. Okay, so this just to reflect, and this again is actually from the PDF that I've been reading from various different classes and structures, which is entitled How to Secure Tax Credits Using the UCC and SB 83. It goes into what Article 9 covers may surprise you. As most lawyers know, Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, which is known as UCC, covers secure transactions and personal property. Indeed, Section 9-101, the various first section of Article 9 says simply, this article may be cited as Uniform Commercial Code dash secure transactions. What could be more simpler? Yet comment for subsection A to 9-101 adopted at the time of the amendments to the Article 9 that became effective in 2001. This brings up a real good question. I have a lot of trustees who are still trying to, they're oscillating between, you know, how does the 8302 returns really fall into the structure? Well, if you listen to what I'm about to say concerning Article 9, and I'm going to read you a memorandum that I always do at the classes that a lot of individuals don't know. Those of us that are in trustee training, I'm only revealing this proprietary memorandum because it was made public information in a previous class that has been in existence since 2017. So since 2017 here on WTDTA Radio, it became public information. And so I'm going to give you what I'm reading, which is from How to Secure Tax Credits Using the UCC and SB 83. And then also I'm going to read to you an Internal Revenue Tax Commissioner's Memorandum. That's actually back in 1985. These things are synonymous because you're going to see how these things really go together. Again, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Trustees, I want you to pay real close attention to this because this is going to answer a lot of your questions. So take notes. Yet, under Comment 4, Subsection A to 9-101, adopted at the time of the amendments of Article 9 that became effective in 2001, they list 9 separate ways in which the scope of Article 9 was expanded by those amendments without changing the title. See, some of those charges, some of those changes are not germane to this discussion. You know, we're talking about oil and gas tax credits are unrelated to health care insurance receivables, non-possessory, statutory, agricultural liens or consignments or commercial tort claims. But some of the expanded coverage is central to our topic. Most germane to our discussion is the sales of payments intangibles. Write this word down. Payment intangible. Payment intangibles. Payment intangibles. Okay, let's back up, however. Literally, and look at the definition of the secured interest in Article 1 to the general provisions of the UCC, which is Uniform Commercial Code. This is 9-201, subsection A35. And inconveniently, we're going to call it AS45.01.211. 11, subsection 38. All right, it says security interest. Write that word down. Security interest. Interest. SECURITY, and the word interest. Security interest means an intent in personal property or fixtures that secure payments or performance of an obligation. Security interest includes an interest of a cosigner and a buyer of accounts. Shadow paper, a payment intangible, there that word again, I told you, payment intangible, or a promissory note in a transaction that is subject to AS 45, section 29. Security interest does not include the special property interest of a borrower of goods on identification of those goods to a contract for sale under AS 45.42.41. But a borrower may also acquire a security interest by complying with AS 45.29, except as otherwise provided in AS 45.02.505, which is the right of a seller or lease of goods, which are under AS 4502 or AS 44.12, which means to retain or acquire possession of goods is not a security interest, but a seller or lessor may also acquire a security interest by complying with AS 45.29. So as long as you are what? Applying or complying with AS 4529, it can still qualify as what? Security interest. That is also the retention or reservation of title by a seller of goods, notwithstanding shipment or delivery to a buyer under AS 4502, 4501. which is also a limit, which is limited to the effect to the restoration of security interest, rather a transaction in form of a lease creates a security interest is determined under AS 4501. Now, see, the first part of definition is what you think of as a security interest, an interest in personal property or fixtures that secure payment, that secures payment, truckers, that secure payment, those that are in contracts, that secure payment, those that have bills of lading, those that secure payments or performances of an obligation. When you book the load, you perform, it was delivered on time, you have a security interest in the BOL. All right, the rest of the definition is pretty murky to anyone but a UCC specialist. Remember, this is for educational purposes only, for entertainment purposes only. What can be done to make it understandable and clear? Well, first of all, the first sentence ignore that the term is security interest. Now, I want you to think of it instead as an Article 9 interest, or even a whimsical term we're going to call like Art 9 or even Arty, you know. So we're talking about an Article 9 security interest. Trustees, here's another classification, an Article 9 interest, an Article 9 security interest, an Article 9 security interest. See, because while the reasons behind what interests are and are not covered are not impossible to understand, they are in many cases difficult to grasp, and the reasons behind them are not particularly relevant to the practitioner. They are, to coin the phrase, what they are. Okay, I'll stop right there. Okay, so as long as you call your claim an Article 9 security interest, then you're able to confer that interest, an Article 9 security interest, into a general intangible asset. General intangible asset. Trustees, we're talking about GAAP, general accepted accounting principles, general accepted accounting practices. GAAP, right on your paper that you're taking notes, GAAP, general accepted accounting principles. People want to know, well, how are you able to do these things? You're able to do these things because the Uniform Commercial Code has given you the remedy to be able to do these things under an Article 9 security interest. An Article 9 security interest. An Article 9 security interest. Now, I'm going to read this memorandum. Now, this memorandum is one that I read to all the trustees that are in our private sessions. Those of you that are interested in the 101 private sessions, I want you to do me a favor. You can call into the number 917-932-1755, because this is going to be very imperative that you get this part of the equation, because a lot of the questions you're going to ask about how to do these things, how to administer over your estate properly, is going to be covered in depthness in these 101 courses. I'm dead serious about this, trustee. Besides all the various different contracts that we do from the trucking industry, real estate, and various different things, I am making myself personally available to assist all those that are also dead serious about trust administration. We don't sell trust. We sell trust administration. We sell you on the private education of understanding how to administer over your estate properly, and that is through continual education. See, most of the individuals have a public education. You know, you've been taught everything that you're dealing with in the aspect of commerce in a public setting. But you got to literally really get into this whole aspect of how these things work. Now, this memorandum that I'm going to read goes all the way back to April 4th, 1985. And this is the reason that I'm going to read this to you. Again, you already got what general intangibles, you know, you can use an Article 9 security interest. Capture that value, whether you're dealing with BOLs, promissory notes, whatever the case may be. I'm giving you the precursors. You must call it an Article 9 security interest. All right. When you do so, then you're able to recapture it in that component. All right? And forget, especially for my truckers, I want you to, this is, again, here's something that you did not know when it comes to the Internal Revenue Service and the IRS. All right, the Internal Revenue Service, Department of Treasury, this letter is addressed to all district directors, April 4th, 1985. On March 5th, 1985, a charge of tax evasion was filed in the United States District Court in Indianapolis, Indiana, by the Attorney General, by the U.S. Attorney George Duncan. These charges were dismissed. The defense attorney, Lowell Beechcraft of Huntington, Alabama, presented irrefutable evidence that the 16th Amendment to the United States Constitution was never properly ratified. This amendment, which established the income tax, was signed into law despite serious defects. In reality, only two states signed into law. Let me back up. In reality, only two states ratified the amendment, and the ratification requires 36 states to be valid. The effect of this is such that paid into the Treasury since 1913 is due and refundable. Trustees, I want you to make note of this. You want to know why are you able to utilize 8302 returns? How are you able to captures commercial energy through your BOLs if you're in the trucking industry, those of you that are in the real estate, how are you able to gain a true remedy when it comes to this construct? You must know that and I'm going to repeat this, the defense attorney, Lowell Beechcraft of Huntington, Alabama, presented irrefutable evidence that the 16th Amendment to the United States Constitution was never properly ratified. This amendment, which established the income tax, keyword, all this stuff that everybody's after, how they're able to, you know, to recapture this commercial energy. They deduce into what we call an income tax. But the income tax was signed into law despite serious defects. In reality, only two states ratified the amendment, and the ratification requires 36 states. So not to argue, but to point out the fact that the income tax does not apply. See, the taxable structure applies to those that are debtors that are under that banner, that flag, that concept, that perception. But trustees, those are in the property who understand that to provide, because it's a trust document, is your ability to contract unlimitedly. Well, you're able to recapture all this energy in what they call taxes because it was never properly ratified. And that effect is an effect to this day. And the effect of this is such that every tax paid into every, not just income tax, but every tax, because the income tax reform brought out all these other taxes, of taxes, Social Security taxes, all of the taxes. Again, it says the effect of this is such that every tax paid into the Treasury since 1913 is due and refundable to every citizen and business. If you have a tax ID number, if you are operating in commerce, and you are in trusteeship, you are entitled to, and since 1913, the effect of this is such that since 1913, every tax that's paid into the Treasury since 1913 is due and refundable to every citizen and business. If you enforce this rule under trusteeship. See, the official position of this service is, as it has always been, to aid and assist the citizens of the United States. We will not publish, this is 1985 before the internet, we will not publish or advertise this finding, as a total immediate refund would cause a serious drain on resources of the Treasury. When you're listening to the various different lectures, I want you to pay attention to what they did in 1985, because in 1971 was when they made some changes to what you call Uniform Commercial Code, UCC 1-207. Pay attention to this, because there's something that happened in commerce. All right, the official position of this service is, as it has always been, to aid and assist the citizens of the United States. We will not publish or advertise this finding, as a total immediate refund would cause a serious drain on the resources of the Treasury. For those citizens who become aware of this finding and apply for a total refund. How do you apply for a total refund? How do you apply for it? You apply for it by calling it a general intangible asset, a general intangible asset, utilizing Article 9. Utilizing Article 9, you're going to call it an Article 9 security interest. And anything that's claimed under Article 9 security interest can bring it over as a general intangible asset, which in turn can be given back to every citizen and business because it reconciles the books. See, these accounts are broken into general intangible assets and allowances for doubtful accounts. Okay, I hope this is starting to make sense to you. Okay, for this, for those citizens who become aware of this finding and apply for a total refund, expedite their refund documents as quickly and as quietly as possible. Advise each of your managers that they are not to discuss this situation with anyone. There will be no written communication, and you are to destroy this memorandum. The Secretary of Treasury assures me that there will be no immediate reduction in the workplace, as this refunding activity will take a minimum of 5 years to complete. Further directions will be forwarded as the need arises. And it is signed by Roscoe L. Edgar Jr. That's Roscoe, R-O-S-C-O-E, middle initial L, last name Edgar, like Egg, E-G-G-E-R, Jr., who at that particular point was the commissioner for the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue. This is explosive. This is proprietary information. This is the information you need to know in order for you to be able to properly administer over the estate. Now, what I'm going to try to do is I may have some people that I do have a couple of folks that are actually in the queue, which means if you're in the queue, you got some questions. If you got some questions, then I'm going to definitely find out what your questions are and see if we can definitely get them answered in that particular component. So let me see what we can find out. Okay. Caller, can you hear me? If the last 4 digits of your number is 5854, 5854, can you hear me? 5854.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if I don't know if I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Yes, sir.
5854.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
All right. I can hear you now. I can hear you now. I can hear you coming in loud and clear. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. All right. Talk to me. Talk. What did you? What you heard thus far? What you got questions on?
Oh, man. Man, every time I listen to you guys, man. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading and researching, and I need that UCC book. I've been trying to find me one. I think I got a UCC workbook somewhere.
Okay.
Okay,
if you got a UCC workbook, that's a place to start. But if you need, okay, I can work on getting you an actual. I'm gonna give you the little cheat sheet here. If you actually can go to Google, I want you to go to Google, and you can type in Google right now. Type in this phrase, because like, and I appreciate my trustee, Mr. Rodriguez, if you're out there, man, big shout out to you, Mr. Rodriguez, actually one of our trustees who put a beautiful binder together, so he can put these things together for you in a nice binder and actually, get that out to you. It's called How to Secure Tax Credit Under the UCC and SB 83. Again, it's called How to Secure Tax Credits Using the UCC and SB 83. And if you want a little bit further on how to secure tax credits using the UCC and SB 83. And if you put that in the Google search, an 11-page PDF will pop up. And the one that you're looking for is under Lorman, which is L-O-R-M-A-N, Educational Services. It was prepared by a gentleman by the name of Richard L. Godforb, who actually works for Stowe Rivers LLP. He's an attorney. Very good document. Now, I've been fascinated with these 11 pages for the last 6 months because it reveals a lot about what we're you're teaching from a practice perspective, but it's geared towards trustees who are proactive, you know, what's being done. So to answer, that's one resource that you can actually utilize. What's your next question? What's your question?
All right. Oh, God. What's God been? Of course, I was on Gene Keady.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go to public to 12?
Yeah, publication 1212. That's what you're referring to?
Sort of.
Yeah. Oh, I think we just lost him. Hopefully the brother will call back in. I think his call just dropped. He might be in a bad area over there. Oh, man. So let's see. I'm going to go down the line. I may have another question. Let's see. Hopefully he'll call back in. Okay. All right, call the last four digits of your number. It's 51116. 5116. If you're locked in, I'm checking in to see if you got any questions or anything you heard thus far.
Peace and love. Peace and love, brother Bay. What I'm doing right now.
All right.
What I'm trying to do now is absorb all of this information that's available, that you're making available to us out here. Actually, I really don't have any questions right now. I really don't. I just want to hear more of the broadcast.
Okay. Okay, good deal, good deal. Okay, all right, that'll work. I'm going to go back to my brother here. I think his call fell out, so I'm going to see if I can bring him back on and see if we got any other questions. Okay, good deal. Good deal. Let's see. All right, brother, I'm bringing you back on 58, 54, man. I think your call had dropped out on us, man. I want to see if you had any
sir.
Other questions over anything you heard thus far.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Yeah, how similar is the security interest and publication 1212 from the IRS when it talks to you talk about security interest, but publication 1212 talks about things coming in coupon format and being able to reclaim all of your tax benefits off everything
right.
that you receive in coupon format. Is that similar
right.
to what you're talking
right,
about?
Right, Right, it's definitely similar. It's very, very similar. It's very, very similar. So you literally have to kind of, you know, you kind of want to grab this thing in a capacity where all of the things that are pertaining to this, it goes in a capacity where you understand proper accounting, proper ledger. And again, man, I know a lot of you guys might on cast, you might not hear all the questions. The brother was basically asking, is this information similar to publication 1212? And with that being said, it's very similar. It's in that same realm, but it's a little bit more direct and in your face when you're understanding that if you're administering over your state, you're there to set the tone. You have to substantiate your account. You have to know from what direction you're coming from. You have to know exactly, you know, what are the substantiating elements. So I gave you some clues. The general accounting principles and practices are going to be directed in a capacity where you are using the position as a trustee to set the tone and explain and put on notice to all agencies what direction or what type of accounting methods to properly administer over the estate. And so it's very simple. It's very very, very similar. So, again, just follow how these dots kind of all connect. It'll really start to make a whole lot of sense to you, especially for those that are in the trucking industry, because you guys deal with bills of lading. You guys deal with logistics. Contracts are going on all around simultaneously. And I went through the Article 9 component because I want you to know that how you're able to recapture that energy, that 30% retention rate on the freight, is because you're claiming it as Article 9 security interest. You're in commerce under Uniform Commercial Code. If you got your own authority, you're under that Uniform Commercial Code. And because you're governed by that commercial code, because you are a commercial driver operating as an operator or in a capacity logistics officer, then all assets, which are the Article 9 security interests, are all tangible. And they're actually fundable. If you show this document and let's say you got bills of latent just that somewhere, you can actually put them in an article non-security interest, put them on an accounting ledger as a general intangible asset, and you can claim those back to your estate. And an estate can be another business or this operation or private family foundation or family trust. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense to you, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Good deal. You know, so I want everybody to literally just be able to follow that. So with that being said, all those that have any questions, I want you to call in to 917-932-1755. I want you to call in to 917-932-1755 if you got any questions. Because now if you don't get any questions, this is where the roof, this is when the roof and raise the roof now. Okay, you got Article 9, security interests that are occurring all around you because you're in secure transactions, because you are, in fact, in a trust agreement. It is a secure transaction because you're in a secured, well, let me back up. You are in a trust agreement. If there's an application, registration, and certification, or we'll say however you want to say it, if there's an application, registration, and certification, then you are in a trust agreement. That trust agreement has a value, and that value can be construed, can be conformed, can be assigned, can be authenticated, can be substantiated as an Article 9 security interest. And an Article 9 security interest is a general intangible asset. It is a general intangible asset. So an Article 9 security interest is a general intangible asset. And that is the point I want you to kind of not deviate away from when you're explaining this to another accountant, because as a trustee, you hire accountants. You tell them what to do. You know, you as a trustee, you employ attorneys. You tell them what to do. You must come from a place of fruition, meaning to know. You have to know that everything that you're speaking of in trust administration is broken down into secure transactions that are governed under Article 9, and everything that you're actually recapturing and preserving under the estate is Article 9 security interest, which is, in fact, under general accepted accounting principles, is a general intangible asset. You know, all these payable intangibles are general intangible assets, not hard. You just got to just wrap your brain around it. You got to elevate it to that point. If you do, then everything you do is literally contracting. Because what? A contract is nothing more than a trust. Keep listening, because if you listen long enough, you just might learn something. Now, who you're listening to in the background, who you listened to earlier, you're listening to the great Mike Maloney. Mike Maloney is a gold and silver specialist. He wrote the book, The Secrets of Money. He has interviewed such, you know, public people, you know, that we're talking about, such as, you know, Warren Buffett, guys like that, you know, people that y'all know in the public. Now, what's most important about what he's saying is that things are going to happen in the marketplace, and it's all about this general intangible asset. It is all about this general intangible asset. Who is actually claiming the general intangible asset? Everybody gets wrapped up into income. It's called an income tax, but all taxes are actually refundable because the structure that was put in place was not properly ratified. So again, when you hear politicians talk about them not owing an income tax, please believe this is one of the many bullets in their gun in terms of arsenal. First of all, it's in a trust. You know, let's call it this. They don't own anything. The trust owns it. So your people in the public are asking for him to disclose, and he don't have to disclose because he doesn't own it. The trust owns it. And the next reason is that what you're asking me to do is actually Article 9 security interest. You know, I'm not under that debtor status. I don't own anything. I'm in trusteeship. You know, the trust owns that, because he who owns is liable. Now, when you own it, you can actually implement keywords. You can implement this component because of the fact that where you are in this space, in this place, where you are in this space, in this place, you are allowed to claim that asset back claim full refund of that plus interest for the right of use, because the public is benefiting off of the private sector. It's called public welfare. Social Security and all these things are for the public welfare. Medicaid is for the public welfare. So because your organized security interest is being used by the public, you can reclaim it. You can claim it back as a general intangible asset because you are a trustee within the trust. The trustee doesn't own the trust. The trustee just administers over the trust. Be very clear on that. But keep listening, because if you listen long enough, this stuff's not only going to start making more sense to you, but you're going to be able to really, really, really take this thing to the next level. Keep listening, because if you listen long enough, you just might learn something.
We need a medium through which to communicate those prices. And gold and silver have worked great as a medium for thousands of years. We have government mandarins who think that civilization will run better if they can distort the field through which we humans communicate that information with each other, and because we have to communicate it through their fiat currency. And then they can play games and that distort the messages and make us behave more like they want us to behave, which apparently means to save less and spend more and keep the froth going. So it's all part of the fight for limited government and freedom and liberty is tied up with the fight for a form of sound money and a form of money that no government mandarin can sign a piece of paper and create any more of it. That's what's great about gold and silver and, dare I say, the blockchain revolution, is no government mandarin can write something on a piece of paper and overcome or overwrite the truth.
Yeah. You can't print gold. That's the main constraint that it has over government. But what about your battle with Wall Street? And can you tell us about what regulatory capture is?
Yes. It was a friend of Milton Friedman, Stigler, in 1971, wrote a paper, Theory of Regulatory Capture, I think was the name, where he said that maybe we ought to look at things this way. Society sets up regulators to protect us from certain industries. But then we move on. The do-gooders and society who argued for it, they move on, they have other causes. The industry goes to work and overtakes the regulator. And they do that in different ways. It generally has to do with the message gets out eventually that if you're a good boy at the regulators and you regulate for 10 years and they don't come after the industry too hard, then when you get out, there's a nice fat job waiting for you or on the board of directors or something. This all started with the world's first regulator was the Interstate Commerce Commission, 1871, I think. And this pattern developed and it just keeps repeating itself. So the regulator becomes really a piece of the industry and not protecting society. Now, back in 2004 and 5, I started talking about this and also the possibility that the capture goes even deeper. Well, there's an expression, deep capture, which means that it isn't just the industry capturing the regulator, but capturing the congressmen and the senators and maybe the journalists and all the, and I have to say, so I knew in 2005 that there was a flaw in the settlement system that could crack and bring down the financial system. And it's been kind of forgotten to history, but that is part of what happened in 2008. When Greenspan went before Congress, October 23rd, 2008, he looked up this quote where he said, this is at its core, it's fraud, settlement, and securitization. And the fraud is Bernie Madoff. The securitization was the mortgage-backed securities. Everyone's forgotten, though, that settlement issue he mentioned. He says the settlement system froze. And that's because there's a lot of slop in it. And I knew that this was going to happen. And I knew it about, I came out and started publicly saying there's this crack at the center of Wall Street. And there's a latent derivative risk building up. There's some crooks who are manipulating and thieving through this crack. It's all going to collapse. And the SEC that we think is protecting us is not really protecting us. This is what I was saying in 05. It's really kind of in bed with Wall Street.
You made some enemies then, didn't you?
I did. But what's funny is the media's reaction. If you went back at the time, the media, there were pictures of me in the New York Post with UFOs coming out of my head because I had this conspiracy theory to suggest that the government was actually letting bad stuff go on and was in bed with Wall Street. Now I like to say, and I have to mention this, the SEC, so I've had numerous interactions with the SEC 20 years. It's a much better organization than it was back. It's infinitely better than it was between 05 and 08. It was 05, I thought there was some real bad people inside it. I think that now I think that they've really corrected how to do the right thing in many respects. Like, I've kind of been surprised at how lenient they have been towards the crypto revolution. I thought that what went on in the world of these cryptocurrencies was dancing at the very edge of the law. And I'm surprised it took the SEC. I thought the SEC showed a lot of patience, actually. I'm kind of glad they're on the hunt now.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about cryptos, everybody thinks that block is Bitcoin. They don't understand that it's very different. This is basically a ledger. It's a way of keeping track of things. And then it's a distributed ledger where there's so many copies of it. If somebody tries to cheat it or make a false entry, they're basically frozen out of the system. So it's a somewhat foolproof way of keeping track of things that is fair and can be proven.
Impossible to cheat. Unlike the institutions of man, which have proven to be sometimes capturable and corruptible, you can't, you know, to some degree, 08 showed us that an oligarchy has formed in the U.S. and has hijacked some processes, and they showed that they could buy themselves all kinds of people in D.C. and they bought themselves in, bought themselves congressmen, they bought themselves regulators, they bought everything you could that wasn't nailed down. Even people.
So they get to write their own laws regulating them at that point, right?
And that's just what happened. But even they can't buy the laws of mathematics. And that's why having these functions shift into a cryptographically protected system called blockchain, these ledgers that cannot be altered, or you'd have to cheat the laws of mathematics to cheat one of these ledgers. Now, I think Wall Street have ways of cheating the law and ways of short-circuiting Washington to keep Washington from reacting more so than now. But I mean, I really do, having been a frequent critic of the SEC, I do have to say now it seems to be a very professional organization, and they're kind of embracing this revolution. But the point is, you'd have to have kinds of actors, those kinds of prime brokers and stuff, the oligarchy, even they can't buy laws of mathematics. They can't break blockchain-based institutions. They can break, hack, and corrupt political institutions and other kinds of institutions built by men, but not blockchain.
Yeah, you're right now, you're trying to change the world. This is one of the reasons I'm interviewing you. I've always been trying to change the world for the better, try to make it a better place, try to make it fairer. And you're doing this right now. You've got a venture called Medici Ventures, and you're trying to remove the middlemen from the capital markets, money and banking, the supply chain, identity, which I want to know a little bit more about, voting, but most importantly, property rights. And lately, you have a new project in Africa where you're working on trusts and deeds and trying to secure people's property rights. And you're doing this by working with the government, I believe, aren't you?
We are. But we're working with the people. Imagine a system where the people on the ground, and it's not a polite word, but it's always described as like shanty towns. You know, 7.5 people on Earth, 5 billion of them live outside the world of formal rights that you and I enjoy, 2/3. And most of them live in what we call barrios or favelas or shanty towns, you know, all over the urban, the polite word is now peri-urban. So, which is like around the city, the edge of the city. They may live there for generations, but they don't have any claim on the shanty that they live in. Is there a nicer word for that that feels pejorative, but I can't think of another way we describe that?
I think you've described it perfectly, actually.
It's
a horrible thing that they have to live outside and without property rights. It's hard for anybody to get ahead of in life. They've sort of tied prosperity together with property rights. They're very interwoven.
Well, and really economic progress begins when you have property rights. Because then you get a piece of paper that says, I own this, and I can take this piece of paper to a bank and borrow $2,000 and get enough capital to start a fruit stand, and the whole system of capitalism and markets can begin. But until you have that, everything's just on quicksand. So we have a system that we've built over the last 8 months. We have a couple hundred people in Zambia doing this now. Uniforms on, they're going through one of these favelas or whatever, shanty towns, and knocking on doors. You have an iPad with them, and they say, how long you've been living here, it's three generations, whatever. They generally have some local deed, not recognized by anyone, but just some informal neighborhood deed. And our people are saying, let us take a moment to recognize your ownership of this land. You can take a picture on the iPad of any document you have, that certificate from 80 years ago, a letter from your books, this is being willed to you, whatever thing you have. We take the pictures, collect the pictures, walk the perimeter of your property with the iPad, so everything gets geolocated, bump, 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 and generate you a title, a legal government title. We've taken the cost of doing that down about over 90%. I think that the system we have built and the way we're doing this between blockchain and mobile apps and this, that, the other thing, I think we're taking about 92% of the cost out of generating that title for these countries. We've also built for Rwanda, it hasn't been delivered yet, but it's been announced and it's in progress. A Rwanda, by the way, is a very interesting company, very leading edge. It's like Estonia on the whole e-governance and digital citizenship thing. Rwanda wants to be like the little Singapore of Africa, which is terrific. This is a country that 22 or so years ago had, remember that famous massacre. They're building the online platform. They have issued 8 million titles. We have a online platform that's like wrapping up, I think, this week. So everyone will be able to interact in Rwanda. You can interact regarding your title, selling it to somebody, willing it to someone, buying something from someone else, all through this platform. The advantage is you don't have to interact with a government official. The advantage of that is it's when you interact with government officials that what happens, Mike? You're a man of the world. What happens when in the third world?
There's a whole bunch of things that happen, but because of the corruption, they can ask for bribes.
Exactly.
They can prevent things from happening. Where I live, you have to go over to this office and get a form, and then you go across town to get a stamp on it, and then you go over here, and it takes weeks to do
and
something that should take 10 seconds.
Every one of them has handout for a little bribe. The Mexicans have a great slang word, la mordita, the little bite, the little bite. And if you're in India and you want to expand your factory, you need to hire 20 more people and buy more electricity, you got to go to different offices, and each one of them, you fill out applications and get stamps and get other people to stamp the stamps on and on. And every one of them has to be paid off. But if you make it so these kinds of interactions can be done online through a system, and the higher corrupts in Rwanda realize this, they're the ones who commissioned this system. We're going to be able to do so much in the next 5 years. I think we've created something we call government as a service. That's really what's developing within Overstock, within Medici. So Overstock, that company owns besides the retail business, and owns this Medici, this blockchain incubator, which has 23 companies that are working in different areas of basically bringing government online and blockchain secure, which is not only going to reduce the costs, something like 90%, but it's going to become incapable of being corrupted. I actually don't want to talk about it too much publicly because I'm afraid, you know, so far no one's really organizing against it. They haven't figured out how much. Basically, the crooks of the world are going to get really squeezed as blockchain gets adopted, but they don't seem to have figured that out yet.
Yeah. They will get squeezed. You know, one of the things that was left out of the conversation here is all of those politicians and bureaucrats that take the little bite, as you call it, the bribes all the way up through the system. Every one of them, we also pay through our taxes. And this is a frictional loss of government that is completely unnecessary now that blockchain has just made irrelevant.
Yep. Yep. We didn't like their world, so we invented our. Oh, it's so, it, you know, for 6,000 years, we've done it this one way by forming and paying centralized institutions to guarantee to achieve trust so strangers can interact with each other and trust. And we create these third party institutions, a mint, a land titling office, Airbnb, the Visa card company. They're all the same business model, allowing strangers to interact and who normally couldn't trust each other, but each just have to trust them. That third-party institution. Well, those institutions can now be disrupted through blockchain. You can achieve trust through through cryptography and smart contracts and such. So really, it's going to be, I think, more dramatic to watch than the internet revolution itself.
Yeah, think of how much more efficient and how much more, you know, the private sector creates all prosperity. All wealth in the world comes from people working.
Lecture 3. How is money created?
Just how is money created? Well, there was a time when producing money meant mining a metal like gold, getting dirty and sweaty. Indeed, one of my favorite movies of all times is Treasure of the Sierra Madre, which focused a lot of attention on exactly how gold is mined. But the process evolved until today. It is true that money is created out of thin air by the central banks of the world, including our own United States Federal Reserve. While it is true that the United States owns gold and stores that gold in Fort Knox, we will see that the gold at Fort Knox is no closer to money in the United States than the oil in our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. One important point to keep in mind as we study the period of history in which money was backed by gold is that gold discoveries are random events, just like in Treasure of the Sierra Madres. After all, Columbus came to the New World hoping to find gold, as did many Europeans who followed him. And it would be surprising if a gold discovery that significantly increased the world's supply of gold had no disruptive effect when money was backed by gold. Nevertheless, there are today public figures who believe that the United States should and eventually will return to the gold standard. The U.S. could return to the gold standard within 5 years, according to magazine publisher Steve Forbes. The former GOP presidential candidate told a conservative newspaper, Human Events, that a gold standard would stabilize the dollar and restore confidence in the U.S. Treasury bonds among foreign investors. If the dollar was as good as gold, other countries would want to buy it, Forbes said. Steve Forbes is not alone in his view. Texas Congressman Ron Paul suggests that our Federal Reserve System, where someone can, quote, push a button and create new money is flawed, and that a return to the gold standard would be preferred. By the end of this lecture, you will have a better understanding of the costs and benefits of our money creation system. You will have a better idea of the costs and benefits of returning to the gold standard. Now, why is this important? As I've said before, money is an invention as important to the development of mankind as was the wheel. Without money, there would be very little trade. Without trade, according to Adam Smith, there would be very little specialization. And specialization is, according to Smith, the source of the wealth of nations. So it makes sense, both in the context of this course and in the context of our citizenship, ask whether we have the right system in place to manage the creation of money. Today we will learn how paper money was created during the era when money was primarily gold and other precious metals, or backed by gold and other precious metals. We'll see how the gold standard, an arrangement where governments agreed to peg the value of their paper money to gold, and I'll explain what peg means, how that system worked and why it ended. Now, in thinking about the creation of money, it's helpful to use T accounts. And these T accounts are called T accounts because they have the shape of the capital letter T. So, what's a T account? A T account is a graphical representation of the balance sheet of an economic entity, a household, a bank, whatever. The T account lists assets on the left side and liabilities on the right-hand side. It also lists the entity's net worth on the right-hand side. Now, by definition, a balance sheet must balance. And to accomplish balance, net worth is always defined as the value of assets minus the value of liabilities. Let's do an example in order to make sure that this is well understood. So, Joe has just graduated from college and is taking stock of his life.
And
Joe owns an automobile worth $4,000, has $200 in his checking account,
for like 6 years,
and $500 in his savings account.
I know, but most Canadians,
now, Joe went to state college and graduated with no student loan debt.
Things, their pushing power is down.
Lucky Joe.
But
he does have some liabilities. He currently has a $750 balance on his only credit card.
Hard to afford things in Canada.
The T account you're looking at depicts Joe's assets, Joe's liabilities, and Joe's net.
First, I'm going to look at this Yahoo Finance.
Under the assets, auto $4,000,
cycle of debt,
checking account $200. Savings account $500. Under the liabilities,
of Canadians surveyed say
credit card debt
$700 away,
and his net worth
$4,700
in assets minus $750 in credit card debt. His liability
among the group say they have no wiggle room at the end of the month because they don't earn enough to make ends meet. Confidence in the ability to repay debt is at the lowest level since tracking began in 2017, and I quote, when there is this
week, let me get to the top of the page. Anna von Reitz gave quite a long update, which some of you will have read. But I'd like to cover on this show for some of the people that haven't seen it or being able to grasp basically what it's been said. This was sent to
Good day. You are now tuned into the vault. Trust Christian, own nothing, control everything. Just wanted to do an episode today. Today's episode is going to be about private banking with life insurance. And so I wanted to do a post with a special individual that we do business with at the vault. His name is Christopher Holt.
To help save
many accolades come with this individual's title. We do our best to do business with
John, what do you think?
Well, let's take a quick look at the interest rate that you were talking about. There's several interest rate hikes. Of course, you're looking at it went from 0.5% up to 1.75. That's 1.25. That's like nothing. Listen, if we are struggling just because of that tiny, tiny little increase, we got some serious, serious problem here in the Canadian economy. Of course, we do. We all know that because we've been covering it for a very long time. And of course, I wrote in my book, Canada, the Greatest Economy in the World, that this was going to happen because you can't just keep on accumulating debt forever and think that things are going to be fine, as the Keynesians believe that we have. So that's what we're in right now. We're in a massive debt problem, and we've been pushing this for a very long time. It just happens over time that you accumulate just too much debt, and then there's no way out other than declaring, as they said, 48% of people had only about $200 left away from insolvency. And that's what you are heading towards when you have that much debt. And if you
well, John, how close are we to like negative interest rates in this situation where basically it's a tax? I mean, it's so crazy.
Well, let's take a look at what happened during the last crash in 2008. Canada was about 4.25% in interest rates at that time. And then they went to down to about 0.25, I believe, at the lowest. So that is a 4% drop. Well, if you're going to drop 4% now, we'd be negative 2.75% in our interest rate. And of course, that is just another way of taxing people, which we just recently got hit with a massive carbon tax all across – well, not all across Canada, because some people volunteered to take it. And it was Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and I believe it was New Brunswick, and Alberta. I forgot exactly which provinces it was, but – they didn't volunteer, so they got imposed by the federal government, the new carbon tax that got pushed up on everybody.
Have you seen the British Columbia gas prices? It's crazy. They're hitting like a $1.90.
Well, yeah, they're heading towards Norwegian gas prices.
Put it in a Zuckerberg Foundation. Who needs a trust? Someone that's not looking to have their life stripped from them via one lawsuit. One lawsuit, that's all it takes. The mentor said, your assets don't belong to you if they're in your name. They belong to the plaintiff and the lawyer that are suing you. Who needs a trust? Trust is a three-party contract set up for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Who do you want to pass a legacy on? Who are you going to able to benefit from a legacy from? Wealth is passed along in a specific position. For hundreds of years, you see the Rothschilds Trust. You see, who is that? The Rockefellers, the Carnegies. Once again, oh, but they're rich. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I guarantee you, you have more education than Henry Ford. Henry Ford didn't graduate high school. Rockefeller didn't graduate high school. Carnegie didn't graduate from high school. This is a fact. Your GED, your high school diploma, your college degree is more education than someone that is a multi-billionaire, trillionaire, and you have never worked next to a Rockefeller. Probably you haven't even talked to a Rockefeller. You probably never even talked to a Carnegie before. Why? Because they have learned to live in a private manner. If you met one, then you already know. They'll tell you, we don't own anything. They've been taught this for generations. They're on the third or fourth generation. They know not to own anything. they know that's how, that's why they're in the position they're in, because their ancestors, their parents, their grandparents, their family put them in a position where they wouldn't have to think about that. So what are you going to do for your children, for your family, for your beneficiaries? How are you going to pass it along? Through inheritance tax, death tax, estate tax, gift tax? Or are you going to put your family in a position where they don't have to deal with that? Men, are you going to have – people might knock on Trump for all he is, but all of the wives that he has had from record, they're in trust. They have houses set up in trust. Why? It's nothing better than leaving somebody in a position better than you found them. Who needs a trust? There's people in the chat saying, I need a trust. Some people say, I have a job. Do I need a trust? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have a job. You're working for someone. Have you ever met a wealthy person have a job? Then you hear the stats about athletes and people going broke that are athletes traditionally. Because what? They're employees. So even though they're rich, they're employees. But then you start seeing a lot of the athletes now have foundations. They're trying to do what? Minimize the tax liability. That's obvious. Oh, we're going to do some good for the neighborhood. Give back. Back to the kids. It's a tax write-off for their endorsement deals. Ladies and gentlemen, who needs a trust? Individuals that want to protect something. There's four keys to wealth. The first one is protection. You got to protect. That means you got to be in the correct position. When you receive the wealth, not you, but when wealth is received, what position is it received? What position is it received? Is it received in a trust? Something that's not talked about in the public? You want to know who needs a trust? A person that's willing to live a secret life, such as the Rockefellers, such as the Carnegies. That's who needs a trust. Someone that doesn't need everyone, that doesn't need to walk around and say, I own this and I own that. I own my house. Till you get sued out of it, or you miss three payments and now it's in foreclosure and the bank's going to take it back after all the payments that you made. Businesses file bankruptcy, ladies and gentlemen. So do trust. It's a business position. It's not personal, it's business. Always has been, always will be. I thank you all for listening live or tuning in to replay. Feel free to type into the chat questions that are related to who needs a trust. Appreciate you all. This is a common question. Who needs a trust? So thank you all. Let's look at some of these questions in here. Someone said private trust equals protection. Very much so. If you all would like to get in contact with the Vault, we're doing trustee training. You all can feel free to enroll. You can contact us at christian@trustchristian.com. Once again, that's christian@trustchristian.com. You all can feel free to reach out to us at the Vault. And we will have you all enrolled. Right now we have a 12-week program going on. We've already started the first week. So if you all would like to get in last minute and keep going, that's great. There is a close-off on enrollment period, and that is traditionally a week or two after it started. So as you all can see, it's a matter of importance to get going. Today is the 23rd of April, and we look forward to serving for the next 12 weeks in trustee training.
And at the same time, we always recommend that you do it when it's announced. It's sort of like the trading partner that we have with the Vault, Cornell, you know, did a webinar the other month, but that's not something that Cornell traditionally does. When you are in a position such as we are and Cornell, sometimes there's not a need for outsiders. Why? Because people aren't in trust. Because people are not in a position to help other than take. And so it's very important to understand that the Vault, Cornell with the trading information, as far as learning how to institutional trade, those things are given because of someone caring about people, just as someone cared about those parties as well. So thank you all for tuning in. We see a bunch of Evelyn, MV, Real Solutions 360. Thank you. So, who needs that trust? Your children, your mom, your dad, you. See, the person that needs the trust says, I'm looking to change my family legacy. My family didn't leave me anything. They told me they weren't going to leave me anything. And I want to leave something. So if you don't do something different, how do you expect a different result? What did they give it to you as? If they did give you something. You know how many people come to the Vault and say, oh yeah, a family member passed away and I'm paying on a mortgage. They passed it along in an incorrect position and now they're having to suffer the consequences of the family not being structured and in the correct position. See, trust are for families, not just businesses, not for individuals. They're for families. Everyone is born from a mother and father. Last time we checked at the Vault, we are in 2019. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, so hey, last time we checked, it takes a man and a woman that comes from a family. The man's last name, the mom's last name. That's why they call it a family name. When you go look up in the Black's Law Dictionary, the name is the entity. It's a recognition of the bloodline. Do you want your last name to be recognized? For so long, people have had a last name that they can't hold up with honor. When people address you, do they address you by your last name, your family name? Do you have a good family name? Or are you afraid to even say your last name when someone asks you your last name? Are you afraid to say your last name as a standalone name? Who are you? You're your mother and your father. You're your ancestors. You're your bloodline. You're the newest and freshest representative of your bloodline. Who needs a trust? Someone that's looking to not have their name go back to dust. Just because you don't hear the Rockefellers in the public, you might not hear them, but they're there because they're private and they're controlling the public. When your children go to college and you walk through Carnegie Hall, when you walk through Rockefeller Institute, that's who's paying for your child's education. That's who instituted your child's education through an endowment, which is private, that you may or may not know about. So, is your last name going to be something that's on the side of a college, on the side of a hospital? Is that your vision? Because that's what it's for. You want to know why Nipsey's legacy is going to be perpetuated? Because he was in the correct position. See, it wasn't because Nipsey had the money. It was because he had the mindset. He just did what he was supposed to do when he got the money. He knew how to put it in the correct position. And from where he came from, the story-wise, that wasn't the case. It's called learning, continuing education. Got some questions in the chat. Someone says, when's Cornell going to get another class? You all can flood his email. CJRLLC@iCloud.com. You all can email us at Christian@TrustChristian.com. And you all can feel free to request that. I'm sure he may do another one by popular demand. But we have a ton of people. If you all are on the chat and you've taken a training, and you all got equity and value out of the training, and you're learning, could you all please talk about that in the chat and promote that in the chat from the value that you got from Cornell, which was great. So thank you all for tuning in live with that. Someone says, I don't have any children. But at the same time, you still have you. What happens if you go down? Who's going to take care of you? Well, let me share something with you. A trust is a person. You all can look this up in a dictionary, the Black's Law Dictionary in particular. Don't go to Webster's and don't go to Google. Google's not a dictionary, first of all. So you go to the legal dictionary, the Black's Law Dictionary, and you all can see that. That's a person. And it can take care of you if something will happen to you all. Could all my equity from inheriting real estate be used to create a trust even if my credit is bad? Well, of course. See, ladies and gentlemen, this discussion today is not just to encourage you to go talk to a public lawyer. It's to encourage you all to, if you listen to this channel, to actually lift yourself up, email Christian@TrustChristian and enroll in trustee training. Otherwise, the options are limited on the private and the public. You hear about private corporations in the public. What does that mean? That means that companies held in trust. That's why you see a lot of companies operating out of Delaware. That's why you see a lot of companies operating out of Vegas. Asset protection comes from asset separation, privacy. Awesome, awesome. We got Barry Parker. He said the training was fantastic and life-changing. No joke. That's awesome, Barry. Glad that you benefited from it. Thank you all for tuning in live and replay. Who needs a trust? Someone that wants to live like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and be able to have their name go for hundreds of years from now and be able to make an impact on other people's lives. And not just talk about it, but be about it. Because there's a correct way to pass something along, and then there's an incorrect way to do something. If you've been educated on the incorrect way, you have a choice. You have an option. You've been presented with it in this 33-minute right now as of this moment recording. Who needs a trust? Someone that wants to do business with people that they trust. Someone that wants to love someone that they can trust. When you're in trust, you have to trust someone. You have to be trustworthy. That's why most people don't get a trust, because they're not trustworthy. They can't keep their word. They can't keep minutes. Who needs a trust? Someone that wants to do things with people that they trust. We live in a world where right now so many people don't trust each other. Why? Because they're not in a social contract, publicly or privately, to work together in harmony. So many people say, I can't trust anybody.
doesn't sound like you'll be in a trust. It doesn't sound like you need a trust.
If you don't have anyone in your life that you trust, they say, I have a wife, but I don't have anyone else around me that I trust. Okay, doesn't sound like you're going to be in a trust. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, people that are in trust work together. So if you don't have anyone around you, you have to rethink your current situation or go find people that are in it and actually start working with them and living in it. So then we got people in the chat. They say crypto is trustless. How is crypto trustless when everything in crypto is based off a contract? A trust is a contract. And not only that, they all have foundations, which is a contract. So why would something that's supposedly trying to decentralize something be, quote unquote, for the benefit of the public via a foundation? This is because they're all working together, centrally networked through contracts. That's why they're specifically in contract form, so they can operate in a form of trust and also be able to give this philanthropic approach towards it, just like Warren Buffett said. Warren Buffett said, hey, what did Warren Buffett say? I'm not going to give money to my children. I'm going to give it to charity. Well, the private family foundations, that's why they're private. It's because it's contract form, trust form, public foundations, private foundations. His children are in control of those foundations, those charities that he's given to. That's how the individual, that's why you will remember Berkshire Hathaway. That's why you will remember Warren Buffett. And that's why you respect Warren Buffett. It's because he's put himself in the correct position. Thank you all for tuning in live. Appreciate you. Thank you all, MV, Ellen, definitely. The private sector is doing great. The private sector's been funding the public sector, keeping it afloat. And so we all appreciate you all. Continue to develop your family wealth. Continue to protect, preserve, and grow and pass on your family assets. Thank you all for tuning in live or listening to replay. Feel free to share this with your friends and family members so you all can focus on getting into trustee training or making some type of difference. At least inquire about it. Develop yourselves. Peace and blessings. Look forward to hearing from you in trustee training. Christian at Trust Christian. Peace.